Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? It's the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7, and with me, Rusty Mansell, Kip Adams, also of Dogs 24/7. Full show, full staff, ready to roll. Let's guys, roll. You ready to put some hay in the barn? We gotta put this hay in the barn and you know, talk for the last time before Georgia plays Alabama in the SEC championship game. And you know, listen, that's what this whole show is going to be about. We're going to make our picks in the second half, players of the game predictions, but obviously the first half we got a little bit of breakdown to do. And Rusty, usually go to you first, going to do it again here. How has you know, your kind of thought process unfolded as this week has gone on about this game and this matchup?
I think it's you know, I've watched a little bit for a couple of weeks now, watched Alabama play a couple of times, and, you know, not knowing where Georgia is going to be kind of in the back end, the secondary with Chris Smith, you know, Kendan Jackson, those guys versus Jameson Williams and Mechie, you know, those two guys can really, really run. So if you're looking at it for the Georgia side, again, I continue to dig into, can Georgia keep Alabama out of explosive play, you know, keep Bryce Young from extending plays with his legs. And when I flip to the Alabama side, you know, can they deal with, you know, what I think is an ultra talented tight end room at Georgia and the matchup problems that Brock Bowers and Fitzpatrick and Darnell Washington give them. So, you know, I don't think the matchups have really, you know, the questions have changed. I think we kind of know who I was going to play. Maybe Jamari Salyer plays. Jake, you probably know more of that on you know, later this show. But I think the matchups are set. I think the questions are set. You know, and the answers we'll get will be Saturday in Mercedes-Benz at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and one of the things you brought up, Rusty, was that tight end matchup with Georgia. Can Alabama limit that without borrowing too much from something else, I think is a big key in this game. I've had the thought all week long, ever since – well, really since – to be honest with you, I've kind of been looking at this since the Charleston Southern week. Can Alabama struggle with tight ends? And, you know, if they do have to borrow from somewhere else, you kind of got to pick your poison a little bit. It's one of the things that makes me like Georgia's passing game in this matchup, because George Pickens is back. Can he take advantage of maybe them paying a little bit too much attention or having to pay extra attention to Brock Bowers? Can Jermaine Burton, Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, Kyaris Jackson – there's a lot of names there, and it's a lot different. And I did a who has the edge today. It's a lot different when you look at the pass catchers, because Alabama's got those two guys over 1,000 yards, and then it really drops off. Whereas Georgia, you know, has, I think, 4 or 5 guys above 300 yards receiving, you know, and nobody over, you know, what Brock Bowers has is a little over 700 yards. So Georgia kind of throws numbers at you, whereas Alabama throws a couple studs at you. And I think that, you know, Alabama has the edge in that category, because one of those guys every single week has come up with a big game, whereas Georgia's kind of been a different guy every week. And will Alabama be able to kind of whack-a-mole there and knock that out? Kip, haven't really had a chance to hear exactly what you've got to say on this issue. Because we, you know, because we haven't, you know, me and Rusty did it on, I guess, Monday, and then I was solo yesterday. So I'm interested to see, how have your thoughts unfolded on this game as the week is going on? Where have you landed, I guess, here on this Thursday?
I think we've all kind of got the consensus that the big weakness for Alabama in this game is the offensive line. And I think everyone's kind of looking to the past to see you know, if this Georgia team can get over that hump and beat Alabama. We haven't seen an Alabama team that's been this week in the offensive line before. I mean, obviously Evan Neal is going to hear his name called real early in the draft, but as far as pass protection, we just really haven't witnessed a team that struggles the way that this offensive line is. And then that kind of caught my eye this week, just knowing that potentially Alabama center might not, you know, might be able to play. And I know if Darian Dalcourt is not able to go, they have gotten Seth McLaughlin, the offensive lineman from Buford, the sophomore. They've gotten him in there, and he's gotten some experience. But that is not your typical, you know, Nick Saban doesn't typically have to use a guy like that this early in his career and use him in a big game like this. I think for Alabama, that's the weakest offensive line unit that we've really seen in these matchups. And that really goes to my other thing I've kind of seen. We know that for Georgia, they're going to have to do similar to what Alabama's going to have to do defensively. You mentioned how expensive is it going to be for them to try to match up with a guy like Brock Bowers on defense. For Georgia, they're going up against the best pass rusher in college football, Will Anderson. You know, how expensive is it going to be for Georgia to have to try to pick him up and give Stetson enough time to find open pass catchers? Well, for Georgia, that's kind of a thing that they've got more experience doing throughout the season. I mean, their tight ends they've played with two and often three tight ends on the field. So they're used to actually, you know, adding guys back there to kind of help in pass protection. And so I think it's just something that even though Georgia's going to face a pass rush that's, you know, more talented than any other one they face this year, they're also in a situation they're kind of used to as far as their personnel and also using their backs in the backfield and pass protection as well. So, I mean, you're going to see probably a lot of Zamir White back there helping out in pass protection. But that's something that they're used to. So it's not really something that Georgia's going to have to change what they're known for doing to maybe have some offensive success and to be able to provide adequate pass protection for Stetson Bennett.
You know, for the Warriors out there, and God, there don't seem to be very many of them in Georgia's camp. You read the comments, you look at the message board, there aren't a ton of them, but two names for you, Phil Mathis and Byron Young. Those two guys are fantastic football players. I've watched every single play of about six Alabama games this year. And those guys flash. Those guys show up. They're really good players, not just against the run. They affect the quarterback. And that's something that Georgia has to worry about there as well. It's going to have to be a real good effort for Georgia's offensive line. And, you know, when I compared the two, I said that one of these offensive lines has been kind of average to really good at times, whereas the other one has been bad to above average at times, maybe a few flashes of good here and there. And you know, the latter's Alabama, the former's Georgia. So, you know, that's a matchup that is probably a big X factor in this game for me. And that's kind of how, you know, I've looked at it all week long. Also, you look at the secondaries for this game. I was kind of shocked to see Alabama averaging, you know, they're surrendering 7 yards a pass attempt. And I know that some of that's been because of busted plays. Some of that's just been because Alabama doesn't have the Patrick Surtain, the Drake, the Minkah Fitzpatrick style, you know, take over a game, change the way you have to kind of attack them defensive back. They don't have that one guy. They've got a lot of good players back there. Alabama's always got really good players, but they don't have that one guy that you look at in that secondary and you're like, that guy right there, top 10 pick. Not right now. And you know, that's something that may be worth keeping an eye on there, not just for Brock Bowers, but for, you know, all of those receivers I mentioned, for Darnell Washington. And I think that's something Georgia's going to have to exploit to win this game. Rusty, give me a key matchup. Give me a key, you know, whether it's a one-on-one or a group-on-group, what do you think is a key matchup in this game?
Anybody versus Will Anderson. And mm-hmm. And we can talk about, you know, I haven't held back. I think he's the best defensive player in the country.
I agree.
I think he's going to be the number one pick in the draft next year if it's not a quarterback. He is a premium pass rusher. And the guys that get paid in the NFL are the quarterbacks, the guy that protects the quarterback, and the guy that gets after the quarterback. So you look at Warren McClendon and probably Broderick Jones and maybe Jamari Salyer against him. how much they use Darnell Washington on there to help, how much of the running backs help. They do a lot of different things with him. To try to free him up into some one-on-ones, and they'll bring him on the guards. They'll do the ET stunt where the end tackles flip-flop there and come in behind each other. So it's not only on Warren McClendon, it's going to be on Justin Schaefer and those guys and you know, to step up in there and be able to move with Will Anderson coming at you. So, you know, you don't beat around the bush. Will Anderson, you know, he's talked about – Jake Hull has a great point about Minka and Surtain, and those guys really don't have that guy right now, but they got him in which has been crazy. Alabama hasn't really had that kind of a pass rusher. Well, they got one. They got one in Will Anderson. They got a bona fide top five pick. Kid grew up a big Georgia Bulldog fan. You know, I've said that a couple of times. So, you know, his energy is going to be second level on Saturday, and Georgia's got to be able to handle Will Anderson and not elect. They got to limit his big plays. He's going to get one or two. You just can't stop him. But they got to limit his big plays because this is a guy that can take a game over.
Jonathan Allen may be the only other guy I would put in that neighborhood since Nick Saban's been at Alabama, as far as, you know, being able to get to the quarterback.
Rashad Evans was a first round pick. You know, he was a first round pick of the Giants, but I still don't think he's as athletic and as big as Will Anderson is.
You know, one of the things I really can appreciate about Will Anderson is it's not common in this day and age of college football that a guy leads the league in sacks and he has twice as many tackles for loss as he has for sacks. He's got 29 and a half tackles for a loss. To me, that spells elite finisher. That's a guy who just, when he gets to the ball, somebody's getting on the ground. And he's not missing that, you know, tackle for a two-yard loss against the tailback. He's finishing that play. But what I think is key for Georgia, and Rusty, you hit it on it a little bit, you got to take away the gimmies for a guy like that. And what I mean is the blown assignments where he comes free off the edge, or the over-eager guard or center like we saw in the Auburn game, where a guy kind of gets his shoulders turned and there he comes on that inside stunt and he's downhill at the quarterback and nobody's messing with him. You've got to find a way to impede him at least some on every single play, unless you're reading them. That's kind of a 50-50 proposition there. So I definitely agree with that one. Kip, give me a good matchup. Give me something you're watching.
Well, I don't know if it's a matchup, but I'm watching to see how Stetson Bennett handles the increased pressure he's going to have. I mean, even if Jamari Sawyer or Broderick Jones and Darnell Washington are able to, you know, to hold Alabama's pass rush, hold Will Anderson, you know, for the most of the game, it stands to reason that Stetson's going to have more people in his face than what he's used to having in most games this year. And I think that storyline about Stetson basically, you know, recreating his drop back to be able to avoid having those balls batted in the air, that's going to be a storyline in this game. If you see it against Charleston Southern last week, it's going to be in the back of everyone's minds. He's had a batted pass, I think, won the last two games maybe. That's going to be part of what Todd Monken tries to do in this game. Is he going to roll him out a lot more? And if he does that, I mean, obviously, you know, that's kind of cutting the field in half, but that's allowing him to maybe evade pressure a little bit more. You know, how much RPO action are they going to use with him? So I think that aspect of the game is probably the key to Georgia being able to, you know, to put up enough points to maybe win comfortably or just run away with this one, is if they're able to get Stetson Bennett out there and comfortably throwing the ball, I think it's going to be a long day for Alabama.
I'm going to go with James Cook, the matchup there, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I was just trying to look it up real fast before you caught me, Kip, and you know, looking at college football stats on my phone, always a, you know, great proposition. He had four catches for 101 yards against Alabama last year. And, you know, everybody looks to that go route that he ran against Christian Harris, beat him pretty bad. You know, the throw, you know, kind of slowed him down a little bit. He still scored a touchdown. It was a big play, but he also had a foot race with Dylan Moses to the sideline on kind of an option route that picked up a first down for Georgia in that game. And I believe Georgia ran it in with Zamir White on the, you know, next couple plays. You know, I think that can Alabama's tight ends, with the focus on Brock Bowers, with the focus on the tight end, with the, you know, can their linebackers, with the focus on the tight ends, can they keep tabs on James Cook? Can they keep James Cook from hitting that 30, 40 yard play on them? And, you know, we all know that, and nobody picked this guy, you know, for the Georgia fans out there, none of us three need to pick James Cook, because every time we pick him, you know, he's it's just not his game. It's just not his opportunity.
Rusty
get one?
Yeah, that batting one for 10 is not good. So we're still.
The James Cook game, wasn't it? That the one time?
I think
the Mendoza line over here.
Yeah, staying out of that.
I picked him. I think I picked him against Georgia Tech and did it all matter of factly, and that didn't exactly work out for me. So I'm interested to see how Alabama handles that with everything else going on. And I, you know, another thing I noticed too, I kind of wonder if Stetson Bennett's mobility doesn't open some things up for James Cook in the passing game, because if you're having to spy Stetson Bennett on third down, it's kind of tougher to disrupt James Cook. You've got a lot going on there, and I've wondered if that might be something that's kind of helped him maybe a little bit since Stetson has been the quarterback. Let's take a break here real quick. On the other side, we're going to make picks and player of the game predictions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, before we get to player of the game predictions and score predictions, I want to just kind of run down Georgia's injury situation just real fast, since Rusty brought up the Jamari Sawyer thing. He's gotten some reps this week. I think there's a chance he plays. I would conservatively put it at 50-50. It might very well be a little better than that, and we'll kind of see how that goes. I think a lot of it's going to depend on – I mean, I think Jamari could go out there and play if they wanted him to play. Is he going to play at a high enough level to be better than 100% healthy Broderick Jones at this point in the year? I think it's a big thing. And if he is able to play, I think that gives Georgia some juice in a run game, a little bit more power at that left tackle position. Chris Smith, I think that one is generously maybe 50-50. I'm not saying I don't think he's going to play, but I don't think he's got as good a shot of playing as Jamari Sawyer does. And it's another thing where you look at it, it's a knee, it's a skill player. Is he going to be able to be effective? Kyaris Jackson sounds like he's going to be good to go, battling a rib injury. I've had a couple people tell me that it's gotten better since, you know, Saturday's game. Kirby said it, but I've heard it's gotten better a little bit since the week has gone on. And Kendall Milton should also be available. Whether or not he's going to be Kendall Milton enough for him to actually get carries and be a big part of the game plan, I don't really know. But that's kind of where that's at. And then also there are some reports out there that Brian Robinson for Alabama is maybe going to give it a go on Saturday. It's hard to believe that a guy that wasn't able to finish the Iron Bowl is going to be ready to be effective and be back to his old self by this game. But that guy's a warrior, and he plays the game the right way. And Alabama's in a situation, guys, where they're so shorthanded at running back, they can't really just say, well, if you're not 100%, we're not going to play you. They need to get out of him what they can get out of him and you know, kind of get him on the field and get some help there at that position. Rusty, lead us off, man. What you got? Man, score prediction and player of the game.
All week, y'all just jump on in on me, all right?
Hey, I had to lead off with you this time because I've stole your score a couple times. I got to give you a chance.
Don't want
man.
That to happen,
close.
Yeah.
We've been close a couple times. Georgia's a better team. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. They're 6.5-point favorite on paper, which doesn't mean anything, but the experts think that Georgia's a better team. I think Georgia's a better team. The question is, can Georgia put one away in Mercedes-Benz? Can they put one away versus Alabama? Because this is not a this isn't a clear-cut difference. I mean, this Alabama team is – I mean, it's Alabama still, you know. So I think Kip hit it right on the nose. This offensive line is not what Georgia has faced in the past in that building. I went back and watched 2017 a little bit, watched a little bit of 2018. I watched a tad bit of the half of the 2020 game last night. And, man, it had – I mean, so many – high draft picks. And, you know, I've kind of went back and forth, but every single week, man, Georgia has answered the bell. And I've not only answered the bell, I mean, they have come out and delivered a dominating performance every week. This is a game that comes down to me, the second half, and can Georgia put it away? And I'll say this, I'm going to give my player the game, and I'm going to give a reason why. And why he might not be on the stat sheet so much, but I know what Georgia does or tries to do with dual threat guys. And they like to do a lot of spying. And they did that with Adam Anderson when he was a part of the team. They did that a lot with him where he would line up at middle linebacker. I think Georgia's going to do that with Quay Walker, with Bryce Young. I think they're going to put Quay Walker in on these downs where they know he can hurt you with his legs. Because here's a guy that can run Bryce Young sideline to sideline, and if that key back stays in, then he comes late, he can do that as well. So, you know, how does that affect a young quarterback knowing that, hey, that guy's right there, and I don't know if I can take off on him or not? So he might not be in the stat sheet, but I think Quay Walker, scheme-wise, is going to play a big deal in this game. And keeping Bryce Young, I talked to a couple of SEC staffs this week or the last 2 weeks that have faced Alabama, and everybody tells me, that Bryce Young's the one you have to watch yourself. He can really hurt you on any single play, and his legs make you worry because if you come up, he can throw it right past you, and he's got a big-time arm. So I'm interested to see how Georgia approaches him, how much they blitz. You got to keep him in the pocket because he is definitely a better player when he's outside the pocket, and he can got a clear throwing lane. But I'm going to go Georgia 27. I'm going to go Alabama 17.
That was close. That was close.
What'd you have?
It was close. We'll see in a second. It's close. Within 3 points of what I'm going to pick. I'll tell you that. Within 3 points. Yeah. Kip, what you got, man?
Man, everyone's going to talk about previous Georgia-Alabama games throughout this broadcast. And like I said, at the end of the day, Alabama's offensive line is going to be an issue for them throughout the game. I think with Georgia – you know, their offensive line has just been playing at a higher level. And the narrative in this game is that, you know, Georgia hasn't faced adversity and Alabama has. And that's going to be an aspect that could bear fruit for Alabama if Georgia gets punched in the mouth early in this game. But it's also the counter to that is that Georgia's played to a standard throughout the season. And for those who cover Georgia and have watched them play every week, as we have, I mean, you see it on that defense late in the game, guys getting frustrated when they're giving up a first down, the accountability that guys like N'Kobe Dean, you know, and Jordan Davis and all of the veteran leaders on this team have, that's an aspect that's always been a staple for Nick Saban teams, is that they have the accountability and they have the leadership. And I think it kind of shows up the difference when you look at this, the penalties. I mean, Alabama's outside the top 100 as far as penalties per game. And I know that, you know, fans are going to point to, you know, just the refs and games favoring Alabama. But at the end of the day, they're still getting a lot of penalties, and Georgia's not. Georgia's playing more disciplined football. And in a game like this, in this atmosphere, you know, in the stakes, that's huge. Being able to play with that poise and being able to be consistent. And I think that's something to be said about Georgia this year, is that they've played at a consistently high level throughout the year. And while Alabama is coming into this game, you know, beaten up and battered, and also, again, not playing disciplined football, you look at just how these teams have played in the last couple of weeks, and there's a stark difference in the quality of play there. And I think that's going to be a key in this matchup, is that Georgia's going to come out there and continue to try to play at that standard because of the veteran leaders they have. Alabama, on the other end, I mean, the offensive line, you look at Stetson Bennett, he's getting sacked, I think, one out of every 31 and a half pass attempts, which is an incredible stat right there. And then Bryce Young, he's getting sacked one out of every, I think it's 15 and a half, you know. And so just the fact that he's getting sacked twice as much as Stetson Bennett, and they're going into a game where Georgia at the line of scrimmage has been stout on both sides of the ball, I think that's going to be the difference in this game, is the fact that even though Bryce Young doesn't get rattled, he's used to getting hit a lot, you still get behind the sticks when you get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. And it still puts you in a situation where you're one-dimensional, and you're already one-dimensional. I mean, we're talking about Jameson Williams and John Metchie being the guys to watch for Georgia matchup-wise defensively. Well, they already know that going in. And so if you're able to put Alabama in even more one-dimensional situations, you're able to cover for that a little bit better. You're able to bracket correctly and be prepared for those situations. And if they're whether or not, you know, Brian Robinson's able to go, he's not going to be close to 100%. So it's going to be an even more dire situation for them at the line of scrimmage offensively. I don't think they're going to be able to put up enough points in this game. I think their defense is strong enough to where they're going to cause some issues for Georgia, and Georgia might not hit their scoring average for the year, but I think they'll be able to, you know, to put enough points up in this game to kind of run away with this one in the third and fourth quarter. I got Georgia winning 31-20. I think as far as player of the game, we could talk about Brock Bowers being, you know, the most talented offensive player for Georgia in this game, and he's going to demand a lot of attention. Maybe he makes a lot of big plays, but if he doesn't, that means that they're using guys to cover him that's going to cost them in other ways. And I'm not going to pick James Cook, but I will pick Jermaine Burton. I think he's a guy that's going to get a lot of opportunities there and really be able to make some big plays. I also think, I mean, I almost went with Jalen Carter because I think that just the matchup there, I think he's going to be able to really get in the backfield. But I think, you know, we stick with offensive guys who are our player of the game. They're the easier ones to point out. I like Burton to have a couple touchdown catches in this game, maybe five for 75 yards. Big output for him while they're trying to double team a guy that should be the freshman player of the year and should be on the John Mackey Award finalist list, but for some reason got left off. And we know they're regretting that, but I'm going to point it out every time I can so they can remember it moving forward. But I think a big game for Burton. He had a big game against Alabama last year, and I think he helps them pull out with the win this time.
I like it. I like it. You guys, between y'all's two scores, you hit on mine. Two keys to this game for Georgia. Number one, don't lead at halftime. Number two, make sure Bryce Young finishes the game. And I'll add kind of an X factor honorable mention. Let's not see JT Daniels on the punt team. All right. If Georgia can avoid doing those three things, I think that they've got a good chance to win this game. Listen, I think if both of these teams played their A-plus game for 10 weeks in a row, that I think Georgia would win anywhere from 6 to 8 of them. I think Georgia's the better team. I've got so much respect for Alabama. You know, I talk a lot of football with my dad, and we've talked about this thing over and over and over again, and I'm not discounting Alabama one bit. I'm not saying that they're not good. I think Alabama can beat Georgia. I think Alabama can beat any team in the country. I think Alabama is the only team out there, except for maybe Ohio State, that top to bottom as far as roster even stacks up fairly decent against Georgia. If you were to make everybody, if you were just to flip a button and make everybody healthy for both teams, I think, you know, Georgia's more talented than everybody in the country, except for maybe those two teams, and significantly more talented than everybody else in the country. But I just think Georgia matches up better with Alabama than Alabama does against Georgia. I know that you look at Georgia's secondary and everybody's like, well, that's the way you got to get Georgia. I agree, but it's a relative weakness. It's not a blatant weakness, where Alabama's offensive line is a blatant weakness and not necessarily a relative one. You know, and you could argue that maybe Alabama's secondary, with some of the miscommunication and some of the big plays they've given up, is also a more of a blatant weakness than a relative weakness. You know, with that said, I think Alabama's going to come out ready to roll. They're not used to being the underdog. They're not used to being able to play the disrespect card. Listen, the last time I saw Alabama get a chance to play the disrespect card, I was right there. It rained like hell, and they beat the fire out of Georgia. Okay, they knocked them around, and that Georgia team had no business really being on that field in terms of overall talent with Alabama. Alabama was just more talented. Georgia should have never been a favorite in that game, but they're going to come out fired up, and I think Alabama, there's a good chance, I'm going to go ahead and say it, I think Alabama leads this game at halftime. But I think Georgia's going to be the team that kind of pushes through and gets it figured out. The offensive line for Alabama comes out with a good plan. They hold their water early. Georgia figures out how to get it late. I think Georgia's the team that's going to flip the script in this game. And I've got Georgia covering at 27-20. I thought that's kind of the score that's been stuck in. It was either that or 24-17. But I'm going to, like I said, I got a lot of respect for this Alabama team after watching them as much as I have, and I think they're going to put up 20 points. My player of the game has bounced around within the last 15 minutes. When Rusty brought up Quay Walker, I wanted to say Channing Tindall, just because he's been so nasty against mobile quarterbacks this year and the way he's been able to make plays. You know, another guy that really flashed for me was Kenny McIntosh. I know I said what I said about James Cook. I don't know if you guys have quite noticed, but Kenny McIntosh playing some really good football these last few weeks. And I think that he's going to have a chance to make an impact in this game. But I'm going to zag, and I'm going with Brock Bowers. I think Alabama's going to do a lot to stop him. I think Georgia's going to do a lot to get it to him. And when you get it to him, again, the speed is incredible. The size is incredible. But watching how hard that dude likes to stay on his feet and keep moving forward is fun. I mean, it's fun watching him, you know, do that. I mean, it reminds me of Mark Ingram, when he played at Alabama, just kind of I don't like being on the ground. I don't like to be, you know, I don't like to have to deal with that. You know, so he doesn't like picking himself up off the ground. And I think he's going to have a play or two where he breaks a few tackles, picks up big yardage, and may walk away with MVP of the SEC championship game before everything is said and done. And that's going to take a good game from Stetson Bennett too, to make that happen. Any parting shots, you know, hats off to Dick Schapp and, you know, the sports reporters back in the day, but any parting shots for either of you guys before we close the double doors on this barn and padlock it?
It's go time. You know, I said it earlier this week, everybody's been pointing to this game. Everybody's been pointing to these two teams, this building. It's round three, 4 o'clock Saturday.
Kip?
One aspect of this game I don't think we really mentioned. I can't really say there's really been a previous matchup where it does look like Georgia's got the clear coaching staff advantage. I mean, Todd Monken and Dan Lanning are both up for head coaching jobs for a reason. And while, I mean, Nick Saban's coaching tree is extensive, I just think that, I mean, Pete Golding and Bill O'Brien are guys that'll probably get other jobs. But I just think there's a clear advantage in the coordinator matchups on both sides. And I think that's going to bear fruit in this game as well. I just think that the offense Todd Monken's called this season has been highly impressive. You think about the fact that Georgia's top three pass catchers didn't catch a single pass for them last year. And then the fact that just Georgia's defense, we talked in the offseason about how this was going to be an offensive a team instead of a defensive team, just because of all the players that Georgia lost the draft, especially in the secondary. And now everyone's discussing Georgia's defense. You know, they're, you know, putting up the comparisons to other defenses in the last 10, 15 years. And so that just says a lot. Again, it says a lot about recruiting, but it also says a lot about both these coordinators and the coaching staff that Kirby Smart's built. And I think that if there's a coaching staff that's prepared for this game, it's the one that Kirby Smart has right now.
I'm about to put everybody anywhere within a 5-mile radius of Rusty Mansell in danger when I say this. Georgia ranked number one in the SEC in punting. Alabama ranked last. Yo.
That's why I break the punters.
All right, everybody. Y'all have a good one. We'll talk to you after the game on Saturday. But for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Rusty Mansell and Kip Adams from the same place. And y'all take it easy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.